So we'll start with the easy one. Your full name.
Margaret Larrison. I was born Mary Margaret Manuel.
And where were you born?
In Catesby, Oklahoma,
and
which
where is
Ellis
that?
County.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know where that is?
Mm-hmm. I do.
I was a mile from the Texas line on the south edge of the Panhandle. That's the 3630 line.
Okay. And in what year were you born, if you don't mind telling me?
No, 1912.
And where were your mother and father's families from? That area, or?
No. Of course, most Oklahomans came in here. My mother's people came to Oklahoma from Missouri. A general westward movement just a general westward movement.
Yeah.
My father's people came to Oklahoma from Kentucky through Kansas during the Bleeding Kansas
mm-hmm.
period.
Mm-hmm.
And they all came down here to the opening of the territories, the land rushes.
Mm-hmm. So that's what brought them to Oklahoma, the
mm-hmm.
land run then?
Mm-hmm.
And what did your father do?
My father was a rural mail carrier.
Oh, really?
We lived on a farm out there in Catesby. Catesby was just a little post office town. Never was much of a town. And he homesteaded out there, and we have owned some land there, wheat land. But in 1918, he got this rural mail route and carried the mail until he died in 1943.
Wow, that's a long time to be a mail carrier.
Mm-hmm.
And what did your mother work, or was she
no,
just at home?
No, she never was employed out of the
yeah,
house.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So how many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had three brothers, two older and one younger.
Mm-hmm.
And something that was a little different, our family at that time at least, they sent all of us through college.
Really?
On shoestrings.
Huh.
Not many kids went away from home to go to college at that time. And we were so far out in the country, there was no bus route. So we all went away from home to go to the school at the age of 13.
Oh, my goodness.
For high school.
Huh. And where did you go to high school?
Well, I went 2 years to Shattuck. And then I went out to Panhandle A&M, where they had full 4 years high school at that time,
huh.
Right on the college campus.
Wow, I did
finished
not know
there.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
That was certainly a service for people in the Panhandle.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh.
And then I stayed there until in 1930, I went to Alva and got my degree there.
And what is your degree in?
I had a major, double major, uh-huh. English and speech.
Oh,
I got my degree in 1932. My two older brothers, and my younger one also, all got degrees from OSU.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What made them decide to go to OSU?
Well, I guess that's interesting. I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
My mother's father and a brother came to Oklahoma from Missouri, came together, and one brother settled in Stillwater, and the other one near Pawnee.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother grew up in that area near Pawnee. And at the time when she graduated from high school, from eighth grade, she could have gone to live with this uncle in Stillwater and
mm-hmm.
gone on through school. But her father didn't think there was much reason for women to get an education
yeah.
in those days. So she didn't. But there was a cousin who was a member of the second graduating class from OSU.
Wow.
Which I thought was kind of interesting.
That is very interesting.
And it may be one reason that my brothers went there. I don't know.
Yeah, just maybe sort of a family time.
But I ended up at Northwestern because I was really very young to be away from home all that time. And
so,
smaller school.
So how old were you when you finished your degree?
19.
So you couldn't have been very old.
When I started. No, I did I did 8 years work in 7 years.
Well,
yeah,
that's pretty amazing. That's pretty impressive.
But I was still 19 when I got my degree. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about the house where you grew up. What did it look like? How big was it?
Well, it was a three-bedroom house. Living room, nice big dining room, which actually is almost where we lived. Out in the country, and a stucco house. Mm-hmm. And no indoor plumbing.
Yeah.
No electricity. So we grew up without many of the things that we take for granted today.
Mm. How many people lived in that house with you?
Well, it was a peculiar family in a way. My two brothers were 10 and 8 years older than I. The younger brother, 10 years younger.
Oh,
and
goodness.
Don't ever remember a time that we all lived together. Huh. We never did.
Huh.
Because of the fact that we all had to go away from home to school.
Mm-hmm.
So, but just my mother and father and my younger brother and I were there most of the time. My two older brothers were either at school or had graduated and were working.
Yeah. Huh. I can see that would be a little odd to not have the whole family together.
Very odd.
So, now, what about like at holidays? Did they all come home for holidays and stuff? What was that like?
Well, yeah, they were all home at Christmas at least, and my brothers always had jobs, so there wasn't much extra time for them, but they were home at Christmas.
Okay.
Christmas was a very, program at the local school and program at the church and Christmas tree at the church.
Mm-hmm.
The little country church still out there.
Yeah.
Catesby Church, built in 1905, and they're still holding church in it.
Well, so I'm assuming that you lived in a rather rural area.
Oh, yeah.
Your family farm?
My father owned this land, but he rented it to someone.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know what did they have cattle on that land, or did they grow
wheat,
crops?
Grew wheat and cattle, of course.
Yeah,
like they do now, pasture wheat in the winter.
Yeah. What about neighbors that lived around you?
At the time I was growing up, there were families on practically every quarter section of land.
Yeah.
I have a friendship quilt that was pieced in 1933, and there are a little Catesby Club people around in that area. I think there are 33 names on it, and it represents 25 or 26 families, and they all lived within a five-mile radius of Catesby, the post office and church and school and grocery store. Now, there's not five families in that whole area. So that's what happened between 1933 and the present time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you in contact with any of those people that used to live by you?
Well, there's hardly any of them left.
Yeah.
On that list, there's, I think, 3 people still alive. And I was the child of my parents, and they were my age.
Hmm.
And of those 3, one's in a rest home. And I don't get in touch with the other one, although she still is. There's one still living.
Huh.
So that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But at that time, there were a lot of people in that area. But the Dust Bowl and the Depression took care of it. I have a hard time separating the Depression and the Dust Bowl.
Yeah. Well, they do go right together,
mm-hmm.
don't they?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, tell me, before we talk about what the Dust Bowl was like, there's your kitty cat.
That's my tiger.
Tell me, before the dust storm started, what was it like, what was a typical day like in your house? And then we'll talk about how that changed after the dust storm started to become more regular.
Well, as I say, my father didn't do the actual farming. He always kept a cow and raised a hog or two. We always butchered our own meat. So we had our own milk and eggs, and mother raised chickens. And it wasn't really a typical farm family because we didn't have to work on the fields like most farm kids did. My parents were determined they were going to send us all away to school, so we did. But mother just did the regular housework, and since I was only 13 when I had to go away from home, take boarding room someplace to go to school, I didn't learn much about housework.
Yeah.
And I went summer school part of the time, so I wasn't home a lot.
I'd say not. So whenever you were at school, did you work?
No, my parents paid for board and room.
They put you, in a dorm, or where did you stay?
When I went to Panhandle, I lived in the dormitory the college kids did.
And you were in high school?
And I was in high school. But in Shattuck, I rented a room. Some friends of my parents rented me a room. Huh. Paid board and room.
That's really interesting. Right. I never knew anybody that went away to high school like that.
I know, you wouldn't have.
That's amazing to me.
And there just weren't many in our area who did, because for one thing, they didn't have the money, and another, they weren't as determined as my parents were that we all of us were going to have an education. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the fact that my father had a well-paying job for that day and time made the difference.
Okay, so...
Of course, they went without a lot of things to send us to school,
understand? So I was going to ask. So what did they have to give up to send you to school?
I think my mother wore the same old coat forever. I don't think my mother ever had a new coat until I just... You know, that was not like that. We always had a newspaper, regardless of anything. We had a daily newspaper. And we always had things to read. A few things. We read them over and over again.
Yeah. So did you have a favorite book when you were growing up?
Oh, I liked... Yeah, you always got prizes at school for books. And I remember one of the first books that I was ever given, for the most head marks or something, the little Prudy books. There was a set of, I think, 6 little Prudy books. I had all of them. The Bobbsey Twins. Mm-hmm. You probably never heard of them.
Actually,
and later,
I have.
Of course... The Girl of the Limberlost, and my dad liked Western stories, so we had Zane Grey books, and William Lloyd Raines, and I forget.
Do you still like to read?
Oh, mercy, I read a lot.
Yeah.
Always have.
Once you're hooked on reading, it seems like just forever. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely. Huh. So what would you say would be your fondest memory of growing up?
Well, it's also tied up with school, I guess. School was always lots of fun. And we always looked forward to school, and I looked forward to getting out of school and having a job. A lot of memories of those times tied up with my parents. And I can't point to any one particular time.
So were you at school when the dust storms hit?
I was in school till 1932.
Okay,
I
so you
got my degree in 1932. And when I graduated, now this is in the middle of the Depression, you'll have to remember. And somebody said, well, how did the Depression affect people like you? They didn't own stocks and bonds. These farm people, and I said no, but they had to make a living farming, and prices were so low, and sometimes you had crop failures, and there just wasn't any money left.
Right.
I think I lost my train of thought there.
You're going to talk about the dust storms, and
yeah, in 1932, that was before the dust storms. I couldn't get a job when I got my degree. I had a lifetime teaching certificate, which is unheard of now. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't get a job. They would say, some people said, well, you're too young, which I was very young. Most of them said, your father has a job. Mm-hmm. You don't need one.
Hmm.
Because if one person in the family at that time had a job, they can take care of you, and they wanted to spread these jobs around.
Right.
And it was very discouraging.
Yeah, so what did you do?
Well, I got a job. I went to Amarillo and worked in a radio station a while. And then I had a brother who was a career Navy man in California, a lot of relatives out there. Went out there and spent almost a year and did that same kind of work out there. Then came home. I was just homesick, I guess. And then when I came home, I was in the Dust Bowl.
Okay.
But I'd been gone in Amarillo and in California for close to 2 years. I came home, and the women who taught the one of the country schools near us, it was about 6 or 8 miles from my parents' home out north of Shattuck. The women who taught that school got married, so she immediately lost her job.
Mm-hmm.
So they came and asked me to take it. So it was just luck that I got that job that winter. So that was in the middle of the Dust Bowls. And I have written a story, which I will give you if you'll help me remember. I think I may have a copy of it. If not, I'll send you one. In the history of Shattuck, one of these family histories,
uh-huh.
I wrote this story about teaching school that winter, which is as vivid a memory as I could give you. It was just a little old country school out in the middle of a wheat field.
Uh-huh.
And the dirt blew every day from every direction, it seemed. And it was pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
It was really bad. There wasn't just one big Black Sunday, which I remember very well, too. And there were other Sundays. There were other big storms. But in a situation like that, you know what I mean by the middle of a section of wheat field?
Mm-hmm.
It blew practically every day, or it seemed like it did. And this little old schoolhouse, the dirt just came in every window crack and everything. Of course, I was my own janitor. I built the fires. I had to clean the schoolhouse, and I would sometimes take a whisk broom and get the dirt out of the windowsills onto the floor before I could sweep it up. And the desk would be so covered with dirt, even during the day, that you just could hardly write on them.
Hmm. Did you write on the blackboard? How'd you do that with it being dusty? I would think you'd have to dust it off before you could even write on it.
Yeah, I don't remember having trouble dusting the blackboard. But I do remember trying the iron clothes.
Yeah, what was that like? One.
You just gave up after a while.
I do that now. I can only imagine if it was dusty.
But that was a terrible winter.
Huh.
And when that year was up, they offered me that school back. I think I got $75 a month.
Hmm.
They offered me that school again. And I said, no, I didn't want to have to teach another year under those conditions.
Huh. How many students did you have in your class?
I only had 12.
Yeah.
Not very many. And not all grades, of course. But I'd grown up I'd gone to school myself in a one-room schoolhouse with all 8 grades and maybe 30 kids in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew what it was like. But I got a job in Shattuck then, working for the newspaper. They offered me a job.
Hmm. What did you do for the newspaper?
Oh, I did a little bit of everything
there
was to do. I wrote news, I wrote obituaries, and gathered local news.
Do you have to write any stories about Dust Bowl stuff and depression stories?
Yeah. And that's what I was doing when I was married. And I was married January 1st, 1936.
New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm. And that, too, is my husband, Bert Larrison, was a member of the legislature. He was elected in 1934. In fact, the first time I ever voted, I voted for him. And re-elected in 1936. So he was a member of the legislature when I married him. But he had grown up in Fargo, which is also in Ellis County, just west of here. His parents were also homesteaders out there in that area. They came from Missouri. He was one of a large family, and at the time we were married, He and a brother had been living on the family farm out there, and a married sister and her husband were keeping house for him. But Bert and Ham had, they both, Bert had a degree from OU. I think Ham went to OSU. I'm not sure he finished. But anyway, they knew how to farm, but they also knew a lot of other things. Hmm. And they had established a stud farm. You know what a stud farm is?
I think I do.
Well, I had a couple of stallions when mm-hmm. when we were first married, and a jack, and they served brood mares, you know. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, "Well, how come they you made so much money on horses at that time?" We had several horses at that time, and I didn't understand it either, but there were tractors in all the area, you understand, in 1936. But gas was so high, crops were so poor, people couldn't afford to pay for their tractors to make the payments or to run them, either one. So they went back to horses and mules. So it was a thriving business yeah. for a while. And one of the peculiar things that I remember when Bert and I were first married in this great big old house out there in the country, there must have been a dozen tractors and other type of mechanized machinery. I started to say combines. I don't know whether they had combines yeah. then or not. I'm not sure. Parked out there. And I said, "What are they doing out there?" Well, they were tractors that had been foreclosed on. People couldn't pay for them. So the companies came and got them. Well, they couldn't sell them. Yeah. They just parked them out there. They were there for years. Huh. And that was typical of what happened in this country in 1936. Yeah. Hmm. Of course, there again, we weren't really, Bert and I, if we were married, weren't really typical in a way, but because we had some money and property, which a lot of people didn't have.
Yeah. You got married in 1936. When did mm-hmm. you meet Bert? You voted for him in 34, but did you know him then?
Yes, I'd met him before. As I said before, not very many people went to college mm-hmm. from those areas. So we all knew one another. The kids from Shattuck, Follett, Texas, Gage, Arnett, and Woodward mm-hmm. all congregated more or less. I met him at Gage Artesian Beach at a dance. There was a dance hall there. Mm-hmm. On Saturday night, it was open to everybody, and I never went on Saturday nights, but on Wednesday nights in the summer, the college kids all congregated there, and that's where I met him. But I think I was a junior in college, and he was still in college at OU. It was not love at first sight. I thought he was terribly arrogant. He thought I was a terrible flirt. But we had known each other quite a while. Then when I was still working at this newspaper office, he came in one day. I think it was a farmers and merchants picnic at Shattuck. And as politicians do, he came in with, I think, the speaker for the deal. Anyway, he came into the newspaper office and remembered me. And he said, "Let's go drink a Coke." So we drank a Coke, and one thing led to another. That was in August. We were married in January.
But not love at first sight. Huh?
No, not quite love at first sight. Although he remembered me and I remembered him.
But maybe not in a good way.
No.
But did the two of you have children?
Yes, we had, we lost our first child in 1938. And then we have three children living. One, Tim Larrison, is a lawyer in Oklahoma City, actually a tax attorney. And a very successful tax attorney. The next daughter, the next child, Ann, A-N-N-E, Larrison Snyder, got her Ph.D. actually at Indiana University. Tim did his law degree at OCU, undergraduate degree at OU. And Ann went to OSU and then to Indiana for her PhD. Mm-hmm. And is now at Arizona State as dean of the College of Public Programs out there. The third daughter, Ann and her husband are separated, divorced. Tim and his wife had two children in Oklahoma. They still live in Oklahoma City. He does. The third daughter, Linda, went to OU and finished at Eastern State, Eastern, whatever it is, in Tahlequah.
Okay.
She married Drew Edmondson when they were still in school and finished over there. Then she got her master's degree in social work from OU later. And they live in Oklahoma City. Of course, Drew is the attorney general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I recognize his name immediately.
Yeah. Hmm. And she works part-time. She heads a nonprofit deal, the Oklahoma Alliance for Better Care of the Dying, and the Oklahoma Association for Health Ethics. I may not have that title exactly right, but that's what she's interested in. She was a clinical social worker and then got into this type of work later.
And when were they born? Were they born during this depression time or later?
No, 1939. Tim was born 1939 and 1941. And Linda after the war, 1947. My husband went to ROTC at OU and was a reserve officer, was called for active duty in April of 1941, before Pearl Harbor.
Okay.
And thought he would just be gone a year. Hmm. He was obligated, you know, as a reserve officer, said, would you be willing to do a year's active duty? Well, yes, he would. And then he thought it'd be over, but of course Pearl Harbor came.
Right.
And he said, I don't know when I'll be home. So I had those two little children, and I was living out there on the farm, but there was no way to live there a long time with me trying to. I couldn't run it. Somebody else had to. I moved to Woodward and lived here until he came out of the war in the fall of 1945. Actually, he was released in 1946 as a colonel, and to make it seem like the way it was, Ann was 2 months old when he went into service, and she had celebrated her fifth birthday after he got home.
Oh my goodness.
He was overseas, actually in the Pacific Theater, 2 years and a half. Huh. It didn't seem.
Wow. And that's when you moved to Woodward, was when he was in service?
We moved back to the farm then, immediately after he came home.
Okay.
And lived there until, we moved over here 20-some years ago.
Okay.
We had a nice big home out in the country after the tornado.
Yeah, we talked with Marcella Bynum this morning. Right. She was telling us about the tornado.
Well, the tornado took our farm home, too.
Really?
And we rebuilt out there, but we did have a nice home out there.
Huh.
Hard times then, too. Yeah, Marcella's a friend of mine.
Well, let's turn back to the Dust Bowl for a second. I know that
if that's cool, push it on
top.
Oh,
it's okay. You let me know if you want me to shut it, though. I'd be glad to.
No, I'm all right.
You're out at this country school, and the dust storms are blowing around. What did it look like when you could see a dust storm coming? Before it's actually all dusty, and you can see it on the horizon, what does it look like?
Well, I'll tell you about the Black Sunday. When I was teaching, I boarded with a family near the school, but would be home on weekends. That Sunday afternoon, we were reading in this big dining room. There were windows on the east side that we had not covered with things to keep the dirt out.
Mm-hmm.
My father put tar paper over all the west and south windows in the house. That was one of the ways that you kept the dirt out. They took tar paper and lath to nail it across.
Yeah.
anyway, these windows we left open there in the dining room, but we were reading, and my little brother came running up to the house. He'd been out at the barn. He had a pony, saddle horse. And the pony came running to the barn like it was really something wrong. And Leroy looked up and saw this huge black cloud. So he came running to the house to tell us that something was on the way. We'd never seen anything like that before. It was just a huge cloud, black. And when it finally got there, there were rabbits and birds and coyotes ran through our yard ahead of this storm. Suddenly we couldn't see those windows. It was absolutely, completely dark, completely black. And I don't know, I guess it lasted, I don't know how long it lasted.
How long did it feel like it lasted? A long time, or did it feel like it went really fast?
No, it lasted a long time. It lasted hours as well as I remember. Now, Bert said later that he was on his way to Oklahoma City and got caught in that storm. But, of course, it was all farther west of where he lived. Anyway, that was the Black Sunday. And one of the things you said, how did people cope with keeping the dirt out of the house?
Yeah.
Well, they boarded up their windows. Lots of people used wet sheets to keep dust out. I don't know that we ever did, but I know that in this schoolhouse, of course, loose windows, it just came in like there wasn't any protection at all. But I'll tell you about one time, a friend of mine also taught out there in the country near me. She boarded out, but I had a real nice place to stay, a real good cook. And Nina would come over occasionally during the week to stay all night with me. I think as much to get a good meal as
anything. And Nina's your friend that teaches? Okay.
Nina was my friend. So this particular day she came over, and it had been a pretty day. There were nice days mixed in with all these. I don't want it to seem like every day was a terrible storm. But it had been a nice day, so that night we took baths, we put cold cream on her face, and we went to bed. We woke up the next morning and left the window open. As I say, it was a beautiful day. And we were both black. The dust had come in the night, not enough noise to wake us up, settled in on us. We looked like, and where our heads were on the pillow, it was the shape of our heads on the pillow, black all around us. And we had dirt all over our faces.
How did you clean that off? I can only imagine.
Well, it wasn't easy, as well as I remember. There were times that we would go to Shattuck then. She had a car. She'd come past, pick me up. We'd go to her house in Shattuck, and we would be covered with dust when we got to town and go in for a Coke. And it'd be a beautiful day there, but it'd been blowing out in the country. I can't tell you exactly what the dirt Dust Bowl was like, but it was terrible. The sand that would be drifted up along the fence rows, clear over the fences. If farm machinery was left out, sometimes it almost be covered up with sand.
You have to remember where you left it so you can go dig it out again, I guess,
They had to take graders and grade those along the fence lines to get that dirt out of it. I don't know how people lived through it. Yeah. Of course, lots of them left.
Yeah. Did you know anybody of your friends that left?
Oh, yeah. There were a lot of people out there that left.
Where did, you know, we always hear about them going to California.
Well,
did they go to California?
I expect most of them went to California.
Mm-hmm. Did any of them come back?
No, I don't think many of them came back.
Guess it turned out okay, California.
Probably did. Probably raised the IQ of both places. I don't know who said that. Somebody did.
Well, I think it's interesting you were telling about your brother and the signs from animals. Was there any other signs that you knew a dust bowl was coming? Like, could you ever just kind of tell just from the way the weather was? Or was it a complete surprise?
Yeah, you could tell. That day was a surprise.
Yeah.
But ordinarily, you could tell.
Yeah. Like what kind of, how would you know? What kind of?
Oh, wind be blowing.
Yeah, yeah. So, oh, here comes another one.
Here comes another one. And it didn't take much. Of course, the farming methods have changed so much since then.
Yeah.
Because of that. It couldn't happen now.
Yeah.
Not quite like it did then.
So what do you think, one of the questions we have on here is, what do you think, from the people that you know and talk with that time, that was the general consensus for the cause of the dust storms?
Well, of course, the drought, and they broke out farmed land that should have been left in grass.
Yeah.
We all know that.
Yeah.
A lot of it's been put back to grass. Through the CRP program, but poor farming methods, and they cultivated until the soil was just fine silt. They don't do that anymore. Even you're not supposed to cultivate that way.
Learned a lot about farming after this.
A lot about farming. OSU certainly has done a wonderful job in that area.
Well, what made you and your husband stay in Oklahoma?
Well, Bert was one of seven children. There were three boys and four girls. And he's the only one who seemed to want to come back here. He knew how to farm. And he didn't like, when he first got out of school, he thought about going to law school, but I guess there wasn't money, and maybe he wasn't quite the temperament. But at any rate, he had a couple of jobs in Oklahoma City for GMAC. I don't remember what the others were. I just heard him talk about it. He didn't like it. He knew he could make a living farming in spite of hard times because he knew how to farm. And he was a good manager. So he came back, decided to come back to the farm after we were, and when we were married, then we began to buy land. There was a lot of family land available, which helped. And his father was ready to quit farming, and so we bought some of his land. We gradually bought a lot of land. In the 1930s, 40s, all along in there was always land for sale. People, they learned that you couldn't make a living on a quarter section of land.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have more land. So there was land available to buy, and Bert never missed an opportunity. If it joined him, he wanted to buy it. But he was a good manager and a good farmer.
Yeah.
And he said he knew that he could make a good living there in spite of everything. So that's where we stayed.
So what would you say constituted hard times for your family then? Because it's like you said, your family is a little bit atypical.
You mean for Bert and me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, after the tornado, that cost us, cost a lot. Tore up our house.
Mm-hmm.
We had to buy a house and gauge and live. Mm-hmm. And it was 2 months before Linda was born.
We had to find
a place. We bought a house and gauge, moved over there. And that's when I went back to teaching. There was a vacancy in the English department. They asked me if I'd take it. This before school started. Linda was born in June, and I took it, and so we were trying to make every dime we could. Well, of course, Bert was still a reserve officer, and he had 3 months active duty in Fort Sill, and I will remember I got $1,800 that year teaching school. He got $1,800 for 3 months active duty at Fort Sill. But every dime we could get hold of, we needed.
Yeah.
And we just gradually came out of it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1950s, there was another drought area.
Mm-hmm.
But we always managed to keep our heads above water. Bert, mm-hmm. As I said, Bert was a good farmer, and he was a good manager.
Sounds like he must have been to get
and
through
we
all
had,
that.
We ended up, we had a nice, we had quite a bit of land. Still have.
So what would you say is your most vivid memory of this Dust Bowl Depression era?
Well, I guess being dirty.
With the cold cream on your face, that's best story.
That's certainly a vivid memory. And teaching school that winter, was certainly an ordeal. These kids in my school district. So they were poor kids. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we all took our lunch to school. And this one family, they just plain didn't have enough to eat. If they had anything in their lunchbox, a time or two, I began to realize they just would have just some bread in their sandwich, in their lunchbox. So when I would go home on Sunday, my dad would take me back to school Monday morning, and I'd have a pot of vegetable soup or something to put on top of the old heating stove and begin to make soup every once in a while for them. Well, the county commissioner found out what I was doing and began to give us commodities.
Really?
For the school kids for lunch, canned stuff. It wasn't very good, but it was it was something to eat.
Yeah.
And where I boarded, they often would send a gallon of milk. We'd make cocoa, top of the stove. Those kids were poor. And when the wind was blowing, when the dirt was blowing in that area, I wouldn't let the little boys go out to the coal shed to get coal for the...
Yeah.
I was afraid they'd get lost. And on bad days, I didn't let them out till somebody came to get them, walked or rode, came to get them. Those were very vivid memories.
Oh, I'd say. How are you able as a teacher to keep the kids focused on schoolwork with this storm going on outside?
Oh, I guess they were used to it.
Yeah?
They were used to it, and we managed. I had four beginners, first graders. I'm not real sure how I taught them to read, but I did. They could all read, these four little boys. And later then, when I finally did go back to teaching full time, my kids were in school. I taught 25 years as an English, high school English teacher and a school librarian in Fargo and then over here.
Wow.
I got
a
off
career
the
teaching. That's all right.
But I guess it was such a hopeless time. It was kind of like the war. You didn't know when the war was going to be over. There wasn't any end to it. You couldn't see any end to it.
Yeah.
It just got feeling hopeless. When is this ever going to be over? And that was the way the Dust Bowl days were.
Yeah, I guess that kind of leads to a question, though, of so then how do you get up every day and get through your day when you feel like that?
Well, what else is there to do?
Yeah, just...
I guess.
Yeah.
You just do what you have to do.
Well, would you say that the Dust Bowl experience and this depression experience has left a permanent mark on you as
a person?
Well,
it certainly influenced the kind of person.
Yeah, in what way?
Well, I certainly don't believe in throwing your money away.
Yeah.
I think I appreciate very much all the opportunities we had. Not everybody had the opportunities I had. I appreciate everything that ever happened to me. It made me a different person. The war made me a different person.
Do you think it made you in a better way? Do you think it made you a better person?
I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything else you want to add? Anything I didn't talk about that when you look through the questions we sent, you're like, well, why didn't they ask about this?
Yeah, well, I'll probably think of some. What did you do for fun and entertainment? Well, our own.
What did you do? You said that you met your husband at a dance.
Yeah. Well, as I said, the college kids all congregated in the summer. But when we had dates, of course. I've always had boyfriends. We sometimes went to movies, but we played a lot of bridge. We did that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And we made our own entertainment. We certainly didn't have the kind of entertainment we have now. I think kids are so spoiled now. It just worries me.
Yeah. What would you do to change that?
I don't know what. Having our children grow up on a farm like we did, there was always work for them to do, and they knew that we needed their help. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tim learned to drive a tractor when far from old enough. He's a big boy. We always hired high school kids to help. We had a lot of farmland, and in those days the tractors weren't so big. We always had a house full of kids all summer long. Not only at harvest time, but you plowed and plowed and plowed again. We always had kids working all summer. Well, our children learned how to work and responsibility, and it's awful hard to make work for kids in these days. Carrying out the trash doesn't quite do
it. Not quite the same.
Huh? Not quite the same. Not the same. It's not easy to raise children now.
Yeah.
Of course, maybe I look at it the wrong way. It was easier for us. Our children turned out well.
Sound like you have a lot to be proud of.
Yeah, I am awfully proud of my children. I don't know if there's anything else I particularly wanted to talk about or not.
Well, we covered most of the major issues that we had on our list.
Did you receive any type of assistance? No, we didn't. Now, at the beginning of the Depression, one of my brothers worked for a pipeline company. And some big company went broke, which left him out of a job. Mm-hmm. And he was home briefly without a job.
Okay.
In about 1933 or 4. And at that time, they organized these road crews to make work, mm-hmm. WPAD.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was a timekeeper, a supervisor on a group of people like that there in the county for a brief period of time before he went back, got another job with another pipeline company. He went to work for Phillips Company over Tulsa.
Okay.
Worked for them many years. Formed his own pipeline company and was very successful pipeliner. Hard times for him, too,
yeah.
At that time. My oldest brother was in the Navy and made a career of it. He stayed in the Navy.
Yeah. When did he join the Navy? Before World War II, I guess?
Yeah. I can't remember when. Let me think. I was born in 1912. I was about 15 or 16 when he joined the Navy. He went through pilot training. Mm-hmm. He was a bomber pilot, pilot.
Huh.
That was rough. I mean, a lot of people wanted in. Not many made it through the training, but he did. Then stayed in the Navy. Finally changed. He says there's never an old bomber pilot. and got a commission. Ended up captain in the Navy. But this brother, I know that was awfully hard on him to come home to that. Mm-hmm. That was assistance of one kind.
Yeah, yeah.
At one time, my grandfather lived with us for a short time.
Oh, really?
And that brings up another whole deal, in a way. There was no provision for old people.
Yeah.
And if you didn't have family, there was no place to go. And he.
So, just a second before you go on. Your grandfather's living with you and your parents, or with you and your husband?
No, with me.
Your parents.
Before I was married.
Okay.
And my mother and father were able to keep him until my mother became ill. And not able to keep him, no other person in her family was able to, so he went to the Masonic home over at Guthrie.
Mm-hmm.
That's a complete change from the way things are now.
Hmm.
There's no type of public assistance for old people. Huh. No social security.
Did you have any other relatives that came and stayed for an extended period of time, or any non-relatives?
No.
Okay.
No. I think Bert's family did. He always had some. Bert's father always took in any stray that came along. Some of them came and stayed a long time, I think. But political views, that certainly changed. My father and mother were both Republicans, but every one of us kids registered Democrats.
Why do you think that is?
And because of Franklin D. Roosevelt, primarily. When I registered to vote, my dad changed his resume.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. So we all became Democrats.
Just because of...
Well, I think primarily because of that.
Yeah.
Hoover was just a dirty word.
Yeah.
Of course, it wasn't all his fault, we realize now.
But it didn't matter at the time when you registered to vote, I don't guess.
No, it didn't matter at the time. And Roosevelt, I remember when 1932 he was elected and closed all the banks. And I was senior in college. And it was just a maybe there was a glimmer of hope down the way.
Yeah.
We pinned our hopes to Roosevelt.
Were you satisfied with Roosevelt or disappointed in Roosevelt by the time he left, by the time that he died?
No, satisfied with him.
Yeah.
I was afraid everything was going to go to pot when he died and Truman became.
Yeah. You and a lot of people, I think.
But Truman, he was, we almost ashamed of him sometimes. He was so corny. But he certainly has redeemed himself in later years.
Yeah.
Historically, he has.
What about your political views changed, you just explained. What about your views toward the environment and, you know, just the idea of Mother Nature after the Dust Bowl and Depression?
Well,
did that change?
You better take care of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Healthy respect for Mother Earth.
Yeah,
that changed. Of course, my husband was always interested in all kinds of soil conservation projects.
Yeah.
He always made farm programs work for him. And knew how to do things. I can't think of anything else I wanted to tell you in particular.
Well, we appreciate you talking with us. This is I feel a very important project for us to do. So I'm glad that there are people like you willing to participate and talk with us about their memories of the Dust Bowl.
Well, it was a hard time to live through. But I think the ones who stayed here and stuck it out were better off than if we'd gone away.
Yeah.
Of course, you never know what would happen if you'd taken another course.
Well, that's true, and I guess we're not supposed to know.
No.
So